Well, this is Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have with us right now on the line Dr. Jack Wheaton. And Dr. Wheaton is works in music. He's written the scores for a number of movies. He's a professional musician. He's directed church choirs. He's been in music for many, many years. And, of course, since he's been a Christian, he's begun to realize the impact of music upon the very heart and soul of the population of America. Dr. Wheaton, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be on your show. I always look forward to it.
Well, and I want you to know this is a different audience, not one that you've talked to before, so don't be afraid to be a little repetitive, because I think your points are so vitally important, and you've written a book called Crisis in Christian Music, which incidentally is back in print and we'll have available for any of our listeners, a book you need to get because you need to understand that as they change the message and the music of our churches, why it will have a profound impact on the very heart and soul of our people. So what's this about music? I thought God created all music, so all music was good.
Well, you know, that's one of the arguments that are being used by the new seeker-sensitive churches, including Rick Warren, about loud rock music being in the churches. Well, God created all music. Well, God created the marijuana plant, too, so we might as well roll up a joint and come into church and smoke that, because you could argue and say, hey, this is, God created it, you know, why can't we bring this into church? I mean, that is such a silly argument, and anyone who studied music for any length of time would have a healthy respect for its power and the fact that it can manipulate people. All we have to do is look at our advertising industry to see how the advertising industry uses music as their primary weapon in manipulating people.
And, of course, we can see this on television all the time. They want to give us a frightening experience. You know, the music changes. They want us to be happy. They want us to know that danger is approaching. Music can portray all sorts of things, can't it?
It sure can. And when I started scoring motion picture music, I had to learn how to use certain cliches to trigger certain emotions, so that whatever was going on the screen, I had to write a type of music that would emphasize or amplify what was going on. And so I made quite a study of all the cliches for anger, for happiness, for love, for whatever, to know which ones to use in these scenes.
And I think the important thing is that you can actually manipulate the emotions with that, can't you?
Well, you can, because the auditory nerve is connected to the midbrain. We actually have three brains, the thalamus, which sits like a small golf ball on top of our spine, and it controls all our automatic nervous system. Above that is the hypothalamus, and that's the seat of emotions, the scientists tell us, and that's where the auditory nerves are connected to. Then above that we have our high brain, or cerebral cortex, which is our linear and deductive thinking brain. So the scientific answer to that, or the simple answer to that, is that music triggers emotion that you can't control.
All right, and so we're going to be back in just a couple of moments to begin to talking about music, its impact on our emotions, and even more than that, this realization that it can trigger emotions that we can't control. We see this, it's at the rave parties, we see this at the rock concerts, we can even see this in our churches today, but people don't understand, they don't understand how music can be used to touch our very souls. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jack Wheaton. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Jack Wheaton, and we're talking about his book, The Crisis in Christian Music, and the fact that music can impact on our emotions. Music is not something that's neutral. Music has a powerful impact, and this has really been recognized for thousands of years, hasn't it, Dr. Wheaton?
Well, it has, and of course the Bible itself is full of examples of music. We think back of the time when Saul was been given a demon by God because to punish him, and they had to bring in David to play the harp to drive out the demon. And so, you know, that's one of the first cases of music therapy. And then we can remember probably the first big rock concert was when Moses was up on the mountain and he was gone too long, and the children of Israel decided to rebel and had their big celebration and turned back to worshiping the golden calf. And it's interesting, when you read that passage, as they're coming down the mountain, Joshua says he could hear the music a long ways before they got down there, and he says, it sounds like war music to me. So it was loud, sensuous kind of music, and of course we know what happened to the children of Israel that rebelled with that kind of music.
But actually music can bring out rebellion in people, can't it?
Of course. It's sudden loud music, particularly with a sharp backbeat like we have in rock music, in Christian rock, triggers a automatic nervous system we have in the body called the fight or flight syndrome. And the brain sends a signal that there's danger to the adrenal glands, and they pump adrenaline into our bloodstream, which gives us tremendous burst of energy to either run or turn and fight. And sadly, that kind of burst of energy is being mistaken in some of the more fundamentalist churches that use rock music as an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and nothing could be further from the truth.
I think it's so important that people understand the impact that music has, and also the impact of the beat of the music. It's not necessarily how loud it is, although that certainly has an impact. But I know we've talked in the past, you've talked about the impact of the beat of the music, in other words, the rhythm, and especially the drums. Why are the drums so important?
Well, when I did my research for my book I wrote a few years ago that's still available to Amazon.com called All That Jazz, A History of Afro-American Music, I had to research the tribal music of Africa and Polynesia and Asia and so forth. And I found it quite interesting. Most of these tribal religions were demonic. In other words, they worshipped a demon. And that this demon would manifest himself or herself when certain rhythms were played. And this seemed to be constant, and we find that still today in the music of Voodoo on the island of Haiti and Santeria in Cuba.
Hold that thought right now. We want to bring on other stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Jack Wheaton, and he's been talking about the impact of the music on our, basically, on our nervous system, on our thalamus, and how it will tend to trigger, certain musics will trigger an adrenaline rush, the fight or flight mechanism, and then we get this tremendous exhilaration. We think it's coming from the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's coming from the beat of the music, and you have to recognize how this is being used to deceive many good people. And then we were beginning to talk about the effect of the drums, and the fact that the beat of the drums many times is used in pagan cultures to actually call forth demons. Would you like to pick up and develop that idea? Because I think it's so vitally important.
Well, as I said, from my research for my book, All That Jazz, A History of Afro-American Music, which I spent 10 years writing, still available through Amazon.com, I discovered that most of these tribal religions were demonic in the sense that they worshipped a demon and they called that demon forth. And the way they called that demon forth was with a particular peculiar rhythm or rhythms. And that was something that was constant in these tribal religions everywhere from Tibet to northern India to Africa, the Middle East, the Berbers, to the Polynesians, the same thing. And there's some very good secular books out there. The drummer with a rock group called The Grateful Dead, Mickey Hart, wrote a book called Drumming at the Edge of Magic, in which he explores this world. And kind of validates everything that I discovered and others in my research.
But he's coming from the opposite point of view, isn't he?
Well, yes. He's not a Christian, and he's just pointing out that this, what this music can do, and validates it. So I sometimes point critics to his book because it's they can certainly read the same thing I'm saying, but it's not coming from a Christian. It's coming from a secular person who's just awed by the power that music has.
And, of course, Mickey Hart was really awed by the music he was creating and the impact it could have, drumming on the edge of magic.
Right.
And did he recognize they were actually calling forth demons?
Yes, he did. And he talked about getting into altered states during concerts where he wouldn't even know who he was or whether he was even in his own body. He talked about a drum he got from Tibet that was a human skull that he finally had to get rid of it because it made him sick. And whoever he gave it to was made sick by this drum. So there's a lot of stuff like that in that particular book. And any missionary who's been to Africa or northern India and so forth will validate the same thing, that these demonic religions use rhythm and use drums to bring forth their particular god, and he or she would possess a human being there, and then they would speak through them.
Yeah, most Americans feel this is just, well, this really couldn't be true after all. Yeah. We live in an enlightened age of science. The idea that there really are satanic or demonic spirits out there that can be called forth by the drum beats and by certain specific rhythms and this loud percussion, this really does have a profound impact on people, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. And you can even get videotapes of these ceremonies from certain sources. The religion in Brazil, that possession religion, is called Candomblé and Macumba, and I have a video that actually shows the people coming under possession and then others going up and speaking to them and getting knowledge as a result of it.
Now, do you offer that, or is it just something you have for yourself?
Well, it's just something I have for myself, and it was through a research video. But it again validates what we're talking about. And very interestingly enough, not too long ago, a missionary from America visited Africa and brought a CD along that his daughter liked, of contemporary Christian music. And he put it on, and the native pastors became very agitated. And he asked them why, and he said, there are several rhythms in the music on that CD that are demonic, that we recognize as being rhythms that were used in our tribe or other tribes to call up demons. And they, you know, they were shocked that this kind of thing would be happening in a Christian church.
I think that people have to realize that there are various rhythms. I mean, most people are not sophisticated enough about music to even understand the impact it has, or the impact of the rhythm of the drum beats or these other things, and yet, of course, they can have a profound impact on our autonomic nervous system and our susceptibility to demonic possession. I think that's the point you're making, isn't it?
Well, yes, and even non-Christian philosophers like Aristotle and Plato. Plato in his Republic back in around 3rd or 4th century B.C. said that I don't care what subject you teach in your colleges or universities or schools, but if you let me teach music, I'll control your society.
And this is one of the most important revelations. Plato recognized it, Aristotle recognized it, Rousseau recognized this, but the average American today has been I'd hate to say dumbed down, but they're just not getting the truth. And when you hear this music in church, why, how could it possibly be bad? Or maybe they'll have two services, one for the young who like this music, and one for the older people who like the traditional hymns. But what is there any place for this music of the world that calls forth demonic spirits in churches just because it's popular?
No, and of course we know how Satan works. He always tries to, that's why they call him a serpent, he tries to sneak in and he tries to divide, and he's used this issue to divide congregations around the United States. It's one of the reasons I wrote the first book, Crisis in Christian Music. Everywhere I went, I found congregations were just really divided over the music. And I felt there needed to be some logic, objective research and information that people could make their decisions on.
Now, I understand you're writing another book now where you've already got all of the scientific basis for what you talk about and how the auditory nerve goes into the thalamus or hypothalamus, etc.
Well, yes, the music is the most powerful of all the art forms because it is connected to the midbrain, which scientists tell us is the seat of human emotions, the auditory nerves. You can't censor your reaction to music. It affects your respiratory system, your circulatory system, all your systems in your body. And because it's hooked into your midbrain, it can create an emotional effect, even one that you don't wish, one that makes you uncomfortable. And I think that's part of the reason why some of us, many of us who know the Holy Spirit and hopefully He's living in us, are uncomfortable in these services, because we're feeling emotions in a worship environment that we know are not appropriate.
I know. This is why we had actually to leave several churches. My wife is much more intuitive than I am, and she just said that this music makes me feel just terribly uneasy and very much on edge. She knew there was something inherently wrong with it, but we, of course, neither one of us are musicians. We didn't know what it was, but we knew it was wrong.
Yeah. Well, of course, they'll argue, they being the industry, and by the way, the Christian music industry is huge. It's the fastest growing part of the recording industry. It's helped keep the recording industry from collapsing these last couple of years when they've had some difficulties with their CDs being pirated. It's over $1 to $3 billion a year industry. And today in most Bible bookstores, their primary profit is coming off of the CDs they sell to teenagers of Christian music. So it's pretty well ingrained itself into our culture. And of course, the super churches that are bringing large crowds of people would be panicky if they were told they couldn't have this kind of music anymore, because that's one of the hooks that they use to bring people into their church.
Yeah, but to try to make the church more like society rather than make society more like the church.
Well, yeah, I always ask the question, if Paul in Corinth, which was considered to be one of the most sinful cities in the Roman Empire at the time he was there, didn't go out and bring in some of the Corinthian musicians and musical styles, and why should we? In fact, just the opposite. He was on the Corinthians about compromising and being too worldly and being too carnal in their worship.
Oh, I never forget going to Corinth, and there's almost nothing there now. There are a few pillars, and that's all there is, just a few rubble where this once great city had stood.
Right, and God doesn't, He has, you know, He remembers things and places that are institutions become institutions of evil.
And at one time this was a great and thriving city, and there's just nothing there now. And this is the story of whatever happens to, always happens when cities and civilizations turn against the God to whom we owe our allegiance.
Right. And so many times the music and the arts, when they come to country or the culture starts to become debased, then the music and the arts are used to increase that among the people. And then when it reaches a certain level of moral degeneration, God steps in and brings either a natural disaster or an invasion from another source or economic collapse or something, and that country is under judgment. And I was just looking before the you called me at Amos, who was one of the prophets who spoke to the northern kingdom just before it went under, and he's talking about music. In Amos chapter 6, verse 5, he says, "Who chant to the sound of string instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David?" So he's telling these people that they're chanting to music and inventing new instruments and whatever, when actually judgment's coming on them.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people really understand the impact that music has. And that is really the message of the crisis in Christian music that Dr. Wheaton brings out. And, you know, they're all parts of music. I mean, there's the harmony to the music. There's the beat of the music. Well, you could really describe that far better than I can. What are the various components of music?
Well, I have found that there are seven parts to music. The most fundamental and powerful, of course, is rhythm. And then the second is form, which organizes music into, contrasting phrases. And then after music and form comes melody. And then we have counter melody, and then harmony, texture, and style. And there's musical cliches you can create or write in each of these that will allow you to produce a certain effect. That's what I had to learn when I was scoring for motion pictures.
And, of course, the people who are not Christians understand these. The Christians understand them. But the major thing is, what effect will they have on our heart and our minds and our soul? We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Wheaton. We'll invite your calls at 1-800 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 in the Winter Room off the Eastern Coast a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR or the Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book in the world that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. I want to tell you about something we carry. It's called Miracle Tubes soap products. And actually, there's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizing solution, which is a very alkaline mineralized solution. Now, we can't make any medical claims for it. All we can do is tell you that the people who use these products love them, that many people will tell us how the gel has helped their rashes and how it's helped their acne, and they people will tell us how the neutralizer helps their upper or lower gastrointestinal tract symptoms. And now I will tell you that I've taken and utilized the moisturizing soap for a couple of years now because it's helped with a rash that I got from soap. I wouldn't be without it, neither would my wife. She uses the gel for just about everything imaginable, aches, pains. All we can do is suggest you try these items. We wouldn't be offering them if we didn't really believe in them. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, Miracle Tube. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Jack Wheaton, and we're talking about his book, The Crisis in Christian Music. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I will tell you that an awful lot of people don't like the music in their church, and they just don't have the courage to speak up and say anything. Have you run into that problem? Have people express that to you? Well, they just don't want to rock the boat because everybody else must like it, so they sort of go along and either suffer, or, as so often happens now, people will just come late so that they don't have to hear this ear-splitting music.
Well, yes, and I think there's a tremendous misinterpretation of being meek. You know, Christ, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek, from my understanding, and the word does not mean to be a coward. And I think that we're in a period of time here where when we see something does not line up with Scripture and is not correct, we need to, with love always, but we need to speak up firmly, and we need to disassociate ourselves from those congregations or churches that are so consumed with pride that they can't even take a minute or two to look to see whether they are on the right track or not. And it's a serious problem, and people who've attended a church for years, maybe second or third generations, find it a hard time to leave. They've got friends and so forth. But, you know, God's going to hold us responsible during this time, that just before he comes back, for our decisions. And if you're supporting an apostate ministry, or if you're contributing to the growth of the Laodicean church instead of the Philadelphian church, then, you know, you're going to have to answer to somebody for it.
Well, I think a lot of the people, a lot of the ministers who have gone into this are really sincere and they love the Lord, but they've been told this is the way that we're going to grow the church. This is how we're going to get the young people into the church, because this is what the young people want. And if we don't offer them what they want in the way of this music, they're just not going to come. How would you respond to that?
Well, I've recently, and I'll have it in my new book, I've found several studies that people have actually done major surveys of young people regarding church music, and it's really kind of astounding that it totally disproves that claim. Most young people snicker at the type of Christian rock music that they hear. They consider it to be amateurish and watered-down rock music, and they don't see it as being appropriate, and that's not why they go to church. So I think there's a tremendous misunderstanding there. I do think that the flower generation, the people who grew up in the 1960s, are the ones who are the major problem, because that's when they learn to use music as a drug, and they want to bring it into the church with them.
Well, of course, that music was sex, rock, and roll, and sex, drugs, rock, and roll, wasn't it?
And it's never changed. That's the whole purpose of it. That's the beat, and that's the theme. And people have said to me, well, the lyrics are different, and if the lyrics are Christian, then it makes up for the music. Well, then I challenge them to do this. Have some scantily clad, beautiful young lady come out in church, and standing behind a plexiglass, clear plexiglass lectern, read Scripture. Now, you ask me if the young males in the audience there are going to be concentrating on the Scripture, or they're going to be concentrating on the scantily clad young female. And that's the same thing that happens with the music. Are they going to be listening to the words, or are they going to be allowing the music to take over their emotions?
I think that the major thing is that the average individual is so ignorant, and I'll have to admit that I've been ignorant as far as music. I know when it's wrong, but I didn't know why it was wrong. I didn't realize the impact that it can really have. I didn't realize that the philosophers of the past had all warned against the use of music, and realized how it could be used to disrupt society.
Well, and the irony of the whole thing that most people don't realize, that's one of the reasons I'm writing the Power of Music book, how many scientific studies there have been in the last 20, 34 years to show these dangers and to show that music can hurt or can heal. And so there needs to be some substantiation of it, but I have sometimes thought about writing a book called Whatever Happened to Common Sense? We just, your common sense tells you something's wrong, then it's, you know, 9 times out of 10 it is.
Well, I think that most people like the story about the little boy who said the king doesn't have any clothes on. Everybody knew he didn't have any clothes on, but they all figured they must be wrong because nobody else was concerned.
That's right.
And I really feel that many times people are really sort of like lemmings, and you know what the lemmings do. Well, anyway, we'll be back here in just a moment or two. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Just think about the last time you saw a movie or saw a video, and remember how the music was used to alter your reaction and your emotions.
Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable, but through regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I'd simply want to remind you that we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters, and if you live in an area that has fluoride in your water, you've got to find a means of getting it out. And of course, if you get a Big Berkey water filter, why, you get a free video or four tapes that we produce, and the four tapes that you want will be the one on water fluoridation. The dangers of water fluoridation are amazing. It's being used for population control because the scientific studies show that it decreases fertility. Why do you think so many women today are having such difficulty getting pregnant? A significant number of our young people are. And I would say that if you checked out whether there's fluoridation in the water, you'd find it was there, because the government paid for extensive studies because they want to cut down the incidence of population. That's one of their major thrusts. And they found that if you had fluoridated water, you had lower fertility rates. If you had unfluoridated water, you had higher fertility rates. So they're simply poisoning us, but the average person doesn't know. So if you were in an area with fluoridated water, you certainly need to get into the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. Now, the Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. You can filter 2.5 gallons at a time, the Big Berkey works very well, but it's not available in California. Besides that, the price has gone up to $279. The Berkey Light is available in California. It is made of Lexan. The filters really purify the water, do a tremendous job of purifying the water, but neither the Big Berkey nor the Berkey Light will take out fluoride, but you can get special post filters there that will do that for you. The Berkey Light is $199 plus shipping. Both of them, you get the free video or free four tapes that we produced if you order it by calling 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and right now we have Rose calling us from Wisconsin. Our guest today is Dr. Jack Wheaton. Rose, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, good to have you with us.
Yes, thank you for the subject. Our church has been doing this as a kind of an introduction, possibly. I don't really know, but it's been once a month where they'll have this kind of a rock band with the loud drums and the kind of a rock type of a beat to the music. And yesterday our pastor gave a sermon on us, you know, being loving and kind to one another. And he said, I know we can sometimes disagree on issues. And he brought up the issue of music. And he said, you know, we have one side that thinks that the music should be one way, and the other side that believes that we should reach out to the lost, and that the only way we're going to reach them is through, you know, a music that they would be willing to accept. And I don't know where we go from here with all of this. We don't know. We should skip church on that Sunday, which we don't want to do, or we should come in late, or we should call our pastor. We're being weak and wishy-washy.
Well, what has happened? Your church is going into the church growth movement. This is Rick Warren's philosophy, and they will do this. They're gradually trying to change the church. You're not going to bring the people to Christianity with that sort of music, because it's frankly unchristian. What you need to do is get one of our four tape sets and insist that you're... minister sits down and listens to it, or even get a copy of this program, and let him understand that he's bringing a form of music that will bring demons into this church, and this is true. Would you agree with that, Dr. Wheaton?
Oh, most definitely, and even if the demon factor wasn't there, which it is, it endangers people's health, it endangers their hearing. You know, it doesn't take much overload for people to start getting hearing loss. They estimate 28% of the people in the Los Angeles basin under the age of 35 have a hearing loss.
And that's really from this loud music, do you think, at least part of it?
Most of it. And 66% of the rock and roll legends that were indoctrinated or elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, have severe hearing loss. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons, and we've never, through history, used the devil's techniques to lure people to Christianity. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. We have such godly messages every week, and we hate to leave this church because the pastor just, he doesn't seem to give us Christianity light.
Well, that's been the problem. A lot of places that we know of, my wife and I went through that, searching for churches, and so many people say either the music's okay and the sermon puts you to sleep, or the sermon's great but the music drives you out. And it's hard to find that balance. But, you know, I think we're in a time of serious, serious Christianity and making a decision. And if you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and read about the last two churches, the Church of Philadelphia and Laodicea, and I think we're seeing two types of Christian churches, those that are remaining true to the tradition of Christianity, to the Bible, and to sacred music. Now, we used to have sacred music and secular music.
Mm-hmm.
This program originates from Monterey, California. Well, for 8 years, I was director of the high school all-star band at the Monterey Jazz Festival. And so I love jazz, and I've played it for years, but I would no more think of bringing it into a sanctuary for worship. It doesn't belong there.
No. Go ahead.
So, I mean, it's a fallacious argument. If you must understand, Rick Warren got his training from Schuller, and Schuller started off his church in a drive-in theater, and they basically, what they did is they reversed the order. God told us to take the church into the world. These new types of super church people are bringing the world into the church
and going to destroy it in the process. Have you heard our 4-tape set on the church growth movement, or the video on Diaprax in the church?
No, that's what I was going to ask you about.
Well, we have both of those. Diaprax in the church is a video done by Dr. Robert Klink, and of course the church growth movement is a 4-tape set we put together. And if you listen to our programs regularly, you know the number to call is 1-800-544-8927. But you need to get this information. You have my permission to copy the videos and copy the audio tapes. We'll send you some information on the church growth movement, and it sounds that like they're just beginning now to take your church in that direction, and you're going to have to save it or leave the church, one or the other.
Yes, I agree.
All right, God bless you. Thanks so much.
You.
That's Rose calling from Wisconsin. Let's go to Don, who's calling from Texas. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan. First off, I just finished reading Brotherhood of Darkness, and I want to tell you what a terrific book that is.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm going to reread it and then go from there, but that's just outstanding.
Well, you've made my day.
Well, that is. I had heard about the book and listened to your program almost every day, and finally got the book, and I'm just overwhelmed with it.
Well, thank you so much. I don't know very much, because that's all I've learned in about 40 years, but at least it's there, and I think it's fairly clear, the true nature of the enemy. But we're not going to tell them until, because they got to read the book to find out this secret that's been passed down through the ages.
Well, I hope everyone listening to this audience, to this program today, that's on the edge and they think, well, yeah, I'd like to get that book, by all means, get it. I'll tell you what, I'm sitting here in Central Texas. If anybody's not happy with the book, I'll buy their copy. I'll give them the money back guarantee. How's that?
That's pretty good. Thank you. That's
okay.
Great. God bless you.
I'll tell you what, I had a couple of comments for your guest, who I've very much enjoyed hearing today. I ran into some of those same issues in church. I could see the, we'll call it a fundamental church in which I grew up, and I was not comfortable with a lot of issues, and I was fortunate to come under a ministry. We won't call it conservative, we won't call it fundamental, we'll call it, excuse me, orthodox. And the word was taught exegetically, isagogically, categorically. And music was present. It wasn't an overwhelming force or an overwhelming issue. The issue and the focus of the church of which I have attended and studied under for 30 years has been the Word.
Amen.
Not the music, not program. We don't have any programs. We don't have any visitation programs. We don't have any of the extracurricular activities. And we are taught the Word from the original languages and the original manuscripts, and it's not a mystery, and I am certainly not an expert in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, but I have picked up enough to be discerning enough that music can be such a powerful influence, in which your guest has very eloquently outlined for us, and I want to thank him for his work there. It's something that's very neglected and very overlooked, because everybody wants to ride on this wave of emotion with this nonsense music. And he's gone on to some of the deeper depths, just as you did in your book on issues in another area.
Well, I appreciate so much your remarks, Don. Do you have anything, any reply to make, Jack, from what Don's saying?
Well, yeah. One of the things that I think separates me from some of the other people out there who've written books or who are railing against rock music in the church, I've been on both sides of it. Before I became a Christian, I was very deeply involved in the occult. I became an advanced Kriya Band yogi, and I lived in an ashram, and a lot of other nonsense. So I know how music can be used in a very unscrupulous spiritual way, and how it can enslave people and hypnotize people. And I knew that before I became a Christian. And then since I came to know the Lord, I've taught the Bible for the last 12 years, and history is my minor. I've made a major study of the history of the Bible, and I've taken groups on tours to Israel 3 times. So I come at this with a fairly serious background, and in background I think I can speak with some kind of authority. And it's a real serious time for people. It's not easy. But God is telling us to choose. There's 2 churches in these latter days, the Philadelphian and the Laodicean. And the Laodicean is the one that's fat and sassy and wealthy and thinks it doesn't need anything. And God says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And that's pretty strong language. He also warns that church they'll be disciplined, whereas he tells the Philadelphian church that he will spare them from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole world. And boy, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through the tribulation. I've read anything about it.
Well, I certainly don't either. Thanks so much for calling, Don. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And somebody had called in and said they were concerned not only with the loud, discordant music, but the repetitive phrases that sometimes are sung over and over and over and over again, like almost like a mantra.
Well, those are hypnotic. Those are designed by occult forces, and I've seen them used when I was into yoga and some of these other things. They are to break down your individual consciousness and to develop what they call a group consciousness. And it's very dangerous. And you know, ironically, if you go back and read Matthew 6, when Christ is giving the instruction to his disciples on what we call the Lord's Prayer, he tells them just before he gives it to them, he says, don't babble like the heathen. And what he was referring to was the common practices of that time of doing exactly that, of just repeating things over and over and over with a strong rhythm and sometimes even dancing to it. And he said, don't do that. And, you know, I don't know how people can just skip over things like that and not see them.
Well, they have Christian words. They'll have a Christian phrase, but they'll repeat it over and over and over again in the music. And that really is hypnotic, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, of course, we know that Satan has a full-court press going against the United States and against the church. We support about 85% of worldwide evangelism, and he's trying to shut that down. And he's trying to get his guy ready for his hour. And so Christ, again, warns us in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, he said 3 times the single sign that we need to watch for to know we're in the latter days is spiritual deception. And we're seeing it in so many ways, and one of them is in the area of music.
The big tragedy, I think, is that the average Christian really doesn't understand that there's a spiritual battle going on. They're so busy raising their family and making a living and maybe making a lot of money, or just having the good life, They don't understand we're in the middle of a great spiritual battle, and we're losing the battle because we don't recognize that there's an enemy out there that's intent upon defeating us, not only our nation, but claiming as many souls as he can for eternity.
That's right. That's right. It's serious stuff. This is not which country club are you going to join. It's you know, you're very, very important. And I tell people, they say, well, I don't know what to do. I say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit ran the early church. There was no big major denominations. There were no big shots running around telling people what to do. So what the people did is they turned to the Holy Spirit. And Christ said in Matthew 11, he said, I'll build a church. And, you know, and he says the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Well, he's building his church through the Holy Spirit. So I tell people, listen to that voice inside. If that voice says you're uncomfortable and this kind of music doesn't belong in your church, then approach the pastor about it lovingly and kindly, and if he doesn't want to listen, then go somewhere else. Or start a home church, because I think we're going to have a lot of home churches here coming up in the latter days here.
In fact, I'm doing an interview with a woman tomorrow night who comes from China, who was there at the time of Tiananmen Square, and she was saying, she'll be talking about what's happening in China today, and she said, you know, it's entirely different. Religion is there entirely different. I mean, the Christian is different than the rest of the people who are wrapped up in this whole materialistic fiasco that's hit China today. They know they can never have freedom there, but at least they can have material well-being, and so that's where most of the people are going. But then there's that growing group that have an unstructured church, primarily home churches over there, one of the most fastest growing movements in the entire world.
Well, I think we're going to see that here, and I think more and more. And you know, the previous caller pointed out something about early church services were very simple. I went back and studied the church in the first 300 years, and when people got together, they got together first to worship the Lord, and then to hear an exegesis of the Word. And the Word was the primary focus. And music was used, people sang, and to bring a unity to the body. And you know what one of the most interesting reasons for music in the early church?
What was it?
It was to drive out the forces of evil. Because if people raise in song the name of our Lord and praise Him in the song, these forces have to leave. So then when the pastor steps into the pulpit, the negative spiritual forces are gone, and the sermon goes right to the heart, not just to the head.
And, of course, when you have the devil's music there, why, well, you're not driving out those forces at all. And
it's just the opposite. You're attracting demons. It's just, you know, these rhythms just attract demons.
And the average individual doesn't understand how this is used in pagan countries, where they really do understand that, sure, that these are demonic forces that they're conjuring up with their music.
Well, like I said, if they don't want to get that information from my book, read it from a secularist like Mickey Hart's book, Drumming at the Edge of Magic.
Well, of course, we hope when you have your new book out, why, you'll let us know and we'll have you on. Of course, your book you have now, Crisis in Christian Music, is excellent. It's the best thing we have. And how soon will your new book be available?
Well, I hope to get it to the publisher by June, and it depends how long they fool around with it. I think they'll try to push to get it out fairly soon to ride this wave of, the Crisis book being reissued.
All right, so you're not going through the same publisher?
I'm not sure. I'm going to be talking with Noah Hutchings, and I may be, he's taken over the publishing of The Crisis in Christian Music, and he, I think, is interested in the new book, The Power.
I hope he will be. For our listener out there, Noah Hutchings, of course, is Southwest Radio Church. They're good friends of ours. They've been very, very helpful. In fact, they were the ones that actually published my book. They contacted me and said, we've seen your video. We want to put that into a book. And that's how Brotherhood of Darkness finally became a reality.
Yeah. So, I have the book, and it's a very good book.
Well, thank you so very much. Well, we're just about out of time. What is the parting thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
The Lord is coming soon. Be true to the Word, and be true to the Holy Spirit. And if you are uncomfortable with the music in the church, go somewhere else.
And I think just use good common sense. Well, Dr. Wheaton, it's always a pleasure having you with us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the new book when it comes out.
Well, thank you for inviting me on your show.
Bye-bye, and God bless you.
God bless.
Well, our guest has been Dr. Jack Wheaton. His book, The Crisis in Christian Music, and you can order that from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Or And of course, you'd like to get a copy of this program. They're available at that same telephone number. And if you do buy one of the tapes from us, or even the four-tape set, Musical Madness is the name, and we actually have programs there that we've done with Dr. Wheaton in the past. Well, you have our permission to copy them as long as you're not selling them. I think it's important that you have this information and you understand the movement that is sweeping our churches today. The Church Growth Movement is a four-tape set we have. Diaprax in the Church is a video done by my good friend Dr. Robert Klink, who is, of all things, an orthopedic surgeon, but just as I was, but that sort of joins us together with a common love for that very, very special field of surgery, the repair of shattered bodies, but more than that, by our common love of the Lord. So you'll find his video, Diaprax in the Church, the four-tape set on the Church Growth Movement, Dr. Jack Wheaton's book, The Crisis in Christian Music, and the four-tape set, Musical Madness, must reading for an understanding of what's going on in our churches in America today.
Another of our fascinating four-tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just don't want to mention that we do have a four-tape set on concentration camps. We have a video. It's called The Amazing Clips, and actually it's three separate videos, and there you'll actually see some of the people. You'll see the hearings, Iran-Contra hearings, where Congressman Jack Brooks is trying to ask Oliver North about his involvement in setting up a program to take away the freedom of the American people in case there was a terrorist attack or a major disruption here in the United States. And you'll see how Senator Inouye keeps interrupting over and over again because he doesn't want the American people to know there is a plan to put Americans into concentration camps. And then you'll actually see Congressman Henry Gonzalez saying, well, the only person who really got close to the truth was Congressman Jack Brooks, but if the truth of the matter be known, there really is a plan in the case of a national emergency to arrest Americans, to separate families, and put them into camps in case of a terrorist attack in America. Ladies and gentlemen, this video footage, is the amazing clips, is something like you've never seen before. We've, of course, put together by our good friend Dave Wagner, and I've never had anybody who's gone through those tapes, those three videos, who hasn't felt that they had a profound impact on how they looked at the world. You'll see one of our leading ministers saying, you don't have to be a Christian to get into heaven. You don't have to be a Christian to get into heaven. Amazing information on the move towards the New World Order. You'll see the pictures of the concentration camps, or at least the camps that are there, that are being set up all across America today. The amazing clips and the four-tape set on concentration camps. Call 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're dependent on those of you who listen to our programs, who believe that we're involved in a spiritual battle, that America, our future, our families, our freedom are under attack today. And if you believe that we have a different message than most of the ministries, if you believe that we are reaching out across America, as we do 5 hours a day, and then almost 60 outlets every week, our Saturday program goes to 35 different stations, and our outlook is growing. Our evenings program, which was rather limited just a couple of years ago, now goes in the first hour to 10 different stations, plus shortwave, plus internet. But we have to pay for the time, and so if you'd like to join with us, to partner with us, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to get a free copy of our March newsletter, which will tell you what happened at the secret cabinet meetings in the White House in January and February of 2001, 8 to 9 months before the September 11th attack, you'll want to get that, the March newsletter. Of course, you can always pull it down off the internet, because we put all of our letters up on the internet in a couple of weeks. It'll be up there in about 2 weeks, and you can read it at that point. Of course, that doesn't help us, but we'll send you a free copy of the newsletter along with a catalog, and we hope that you'll want to get some of the information that will help you convince others of the truth of what's really going on. Now, if you go to our website at radioliberty.com, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day, 2 hours here at Genesis, an hour at the American Freedom Network, and 2 hours in the evening on the Radio Liberty Network. And, of course, you can pull down our newsletters. You can see the various items that we offer. The videos, we have literally dozens of videos and 60 or more tape sets and several hundred books that will help you better to understand the spiritual battle taking place in the world today. I hope that you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Don from Texas called. I don't know who Don is, but obviously he has enjoyed the book, and I appreciate his words. You can get the book by itself, or you can get it along with a video and a four-tape set for $29.95, and we think it will give you an entirely different outlook on what's going on in the world today. And then we hope that you want to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, which points out that all the wars of the last century were contrived, and they were not fought for the reasons that we sent our boys overseas. Most people thought they were fighting for. They weren't fighting for freedom. They were fighting to bring about this one world order and the new world religion, because there are dark, sinister spiritual forces that control both of our political parties. So if you'd like to get the video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and it comes with a syllabus. You can get the syllabus by itself, or you can get the video by itself, but you really need to get the two of them together, because it will give you tremendous insight and documentation so that you can show others that a lot of this is original documentation you'll never get any other place. That's Iraq, the Untold Story, the video, or the syllabus, or both of them together. And the same way, of course, you can get our sustainable development syllabus, or you can get our four-tape set, or our video, or you can get them all together. You can get the musical madness, the Millennium Madness syllabus, or four-tape set. That goes into the meeting that was held in Washington, D.C., in New York City in the year 2000, where they began to plan of bringing about the world government. You'll actually see the United Nations documents, discussions of what really transpired there, the things that you never heard from Rush Limbaugh, or from Bill O'Reilly, from Dan Rather, and Tom Brokaw, who were paid fabulous sums of money not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth from the American people. And then, of course, remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.